Technorama episode 372 for April 3rd, 2013, Cheese Factory Personified.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I had my keys when I came in here. Did you see where I put them down?
Over there, in the media corner.
I hate when I do that.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
That's what it sounds like at our office in San Diego, like every 5 minutes. Because it's
that?
So close to the Miramar. You'd be listening to conference calls and you just hear that over and over and over again. Welcome to Technorama for April 3rd, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, voice of Craig's latest story on another podcast.
Yeah.
And with me is the writer of that same story, Craig Stepp. You know, we got to build some credentials because I listen to Grammar Girl and she's saying how she's the author of, you know, her daily devotional thing. So we can build ourselves up, right?
Yeah, why not? I mean, come on.
Author, award-winning podcasters. See the awards right here. We keep it within arm's reach.
Yeah,
just
what we should do is set aside a minute to reread our resume.
Our pod resume, right?
That's right.
We'd be here for an hour.
Yeah.
That's not what they're here to listen to. Yeah. No, what they're here to listen to coming up in this episode is... It's not about being happily ever after. The more you give, the more it gives back, and it can change the world. None of that and more coming right up.
We got a schlug of them, to say the least, yes.
A schlug? Is that a metric
schlug? A
schlug.
It's a metric schlug.
I'm free! I'm open!
Oh, damn. Oh, I love turducken. I've done turducken for 2 years now. I don't remember what those are. How do we get on food? Is this the Food Network?
We can stretch anything into Technorama.
I know. Chuck is losing it. He needs vacation time.
Let's promote him to manager!
You keep talking, I'll keep listening.
Well, there goes that.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Gay, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
The light blue button, not the medium blue button on my end that I have to push. So, you asked what those three things mean. I'm guessing fairy tales or something to do with the holidays.
That's kind of like a fairy tale, at least at first.
Okay.
Marriage.
Oh, yeah, marriage is a fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's all make-believe. We
right.
have feedback from our listeners.
Whoa.
Play that music.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
I like the bass line.
Mail, yeah. Mail, 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 mail today.
Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters.
Do, do, do.
Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
We have feedback from Bob in Lower Peninsula, Michigan. Either that or it's Liquid Propane, Michigan. I'm not sure.
I like the latter.
In response to the Bone Phone Scouting in Shatner's World. That just sounds like a bad joke ready to happen, doesn't it?
Actually, I think the first and the third one should go together.
He says, hi, I do believe that I still have a bone phone. Yes, we talked about that on numerous occasions, like, hey, we'd like to get one of those and hack it.
Yeah.
And if he's got it, I'll buy it.
How bad do you want it?
Buy that for a dollar?
Hmm.
He says it should be with the rest of his stuff from his ute. How bad do you want it?
His ute.
Craig, this is in relationship to scouting. It makes a leader feel good when the boys cross over. That sounds like they're going to the dark side or something.
Yeah.
I had my son and two others cross over this year. That just sounded wrong on so many levels now, but I understand what he's talking about. In the winter, do your scouts do any kind of Klondike events?
Well, actually, yes. First, let me address the first part, Chuck. When they're talking about crossing over, going from the Cub Scouts to the Boy Scouts.
Ah.
Okay.
I thought they were talking about going from the Boy Scouts to the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, and I was a den leader for the last five of this, or is it the last 4 or 5 years? First year I wasn't, and then from then on I kind of inherited our den, and I'm a little embarrassed, but on the flip side, I'm not. But what happened was I got up there. I had some things I was going to say to everybody. And when I started to tell everybody at the ceremony about some moments from when, you know, or what I thought about the whole experience, I got choked up. And I was like, dadgummit. I promised myself I wasn't going to do this. But yeah, I was very proud of them. You know, they've all stuck together for so long. But anyway, yes, they do. I think they call it the polar bear thing, and we camp out and stuff. I'm not sure what all is involved with that because it's our first year, and we've only been camping once, and it wasn't the polar bear thing. So
it's not cold enough down there to have polar bear stuff. Man, you got to have like 5 feet of snow.
Maybe we should plan a trip to Wisconsin.
There you go. Go see Julie in Houghton, Michigan. They have plenty.
Well, I was going to say, we can just stay in your front yard.
My front yard's almost bare now. We lost a lot this past week.
Really?
Finally, spring is starting to arrive. I see flowers starting to pop up a little later than last year.
Well, there's been a few, you know, I go running with my dad, right? And there's some places we run. I'm like, wow, the flowers are blooming. This is like a couple months ago. And then I said, this poor thing, they've gotten free. They've been frozen warm.
It's like a florist refrigerator. Keeps them fresher longer.
I was thinking more like a roller coaster.
Third part of his email is, my wife and I just saw Shatner's World. Is that like Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Shatner's World. World. Party on. Party on. Party on, Spock. It was a great show. He came out and talked for an hour and 45 minutes or so. Well worth the money.
Really?
It was the story of his acting career.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be short, wouldn't it? Oh, sorry.
I'd probably see it anywhere.
If you get a chance, go for it. 101, signed Bob in Liquid Peninsula of Michigan. We also have one from Julio in Tijuana.
By the way, I would pay to go see Shat Talk. Would you?
Yeah, if it was local and it was reasonably priced, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Hey,
Julio.
I'm going to give him credit real quick. William Shatner.
Yes.
To be his age and still moving around like he has been.
Did you see his video where he fought the Gorn?
Yeah, I was just thinking, did I put that in the show notes?
That was yes, funny. That was, I don't think so. Was it?
I like how they spent like a couple of minutes, a moment, and then he went,
I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah.
And the guy playing the Gorn moved around just like him, you know, nice and slow.
Yeah, that was funny.
Julio in Tijuana writes, Google decided to stop life support for Google Reader. Yes, this is tragic, since this is Craig's and my favorite RSS reader right now. And we are scouting the net for viable replacement parts, or organ transplants, as it were. It has only a few more months to live. Beep, beep, beep. Over the years, I have learned countless things from the feeds reader, kept an always vigilant eye on for me. Never did it complain. Why don't you delete all these dead fees? Feeds.
Fees.
It is those as two. If it knew that I kept them to mourn all those blogs on eternal hiatus. Hmm. It never mocked me. Why do you keep reading unconsumption? You are never going to build a sofa out of a scrapped wooden pallet. Starting to sound more like Technorama now.
Yeah.
You the dead feeds, the wooden pallets. Okay. You barely managed to recycle your plastic bags. It was a discreet and helpful friend. I'm going to miss good old Google Reader.
Mm-hmm. I think I will too. But actually, you know what? Since they announced it that week after,
yes,
I haven't been in Google Reader but once. So I've actually weaned myself on it pretty quick. Although it is my favorite, and I would just continue to use it. But I was like, well, I better go ahead and start using something else because I, you know, right off the bat, I figured, why not? So what I did, and I did sign up for Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, okay, which is actually a good replacement if you want a feed reader. But most of my sites, I didn't have a whole lot of just one-off feeds. A lot of them were sites that were being rebroadcast in Twitter and even on Google Plus. So what I did was I made circles and put all those sites in the circles, kind of like the folders. And you can set whether they should show in your main feed or you just go and look at the circle, you know, for to actually read them. So some of them I set as, you know, I don't want them in my main feed. So I just go look at the circle, see what's in there, look in the circle. Or same thing on Twitter. I made lists of the sites that I like and or people. And I just go flip through the lists and I can catch up pretty much on anything there. It's there, though, it's more of the river of news. If something passes by, you know, you may miss it. Google Reader, that was a thing. It would catch it and you would end up seeing it unless you just said read all. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like Twitter in that respect.
Yeah.
The river of news. I like that.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, that's what Google Reader was like at the beginning. It was just like you had... It wasn't structured like it is now. It was just things would come through and just fall off at the, you know, after a certain age.
Really?
Yes.
I never noticed that.
The early version.
Oh, okay.
And then they kind of came out with a second version, which is kind of the version we have today.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first one was kind of weird and I started getting hang of it and then they changed it. I was like, okay, I'm happy with this. But actually, I've been pretty happy with Google Reader. Oh, and the other thing, not to keep going on and on and on about this, but with the Twitter list and the Google Circles, I've been using Flipboard to actually read a lot of that stuff. Because Flipboard will talk to both sites, and you can look at the lists, and it's a nice reader, you know, to flip through, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to see how Feedly stays up after Google Reader is gone, because it seems to be more of a front end to Google Reader.
Yeah, and they're copying the API, so
kind of. Instead of calling them start item, they say save for later, and hitting S, which is nice because that's the star key on Google Reader, is the save key on Feedly, still triggers the IFTTT interface API, whatever you want to call it, to save it into our Technorama folder. So it's kind of doing the same thing, but it feels like there's that Google Reader is now just middleware for that.
It is, but no, when they're going to cut over at some point, and you can keep your feed separate, and when Google Reader goes away, Feedly will just keep on operating as it is.
But will IFTTT have an API? That's too many letters.
No, what Feedly was saying was on the back end, they're copying that API that Google Reader has.
Okay.
So it should be an easy replacement for sites like IFTTT or whatever.
Gotcha. All right. Let's give a shout out to the chat room. It's going crazy tonight.
Whoa.
We have Comedy Forecast, Kevin Rupier, you and me and Ed Flynn and Gru. And Tim Elliott and ZML2008 are all hanging out there having a great old conversation. We've also missed a bunch of birthdays because we've been away for a couple of weeks due to business and other things. Traveling this way, that way, and the other way. And the Technorama way, which we'll probably talk about a little later. We had in March, I'm going to go back a little bit because it'd be a travesty to miss some of these people. March 23rd had two birthdays. Steve Rickyberg, a.k.a. Missing Intellect of Geek Cred. He's also grew in the chat room. The gracious host who lets us use his chat room every week.
Right.
Thank you very much. March 23rd was also Richard Parkman. Happy birthday. 25th was Nick St. Gabriel, longtime supporter of Technorama. Thank you very much for your regular donations. Ding! We should have the ding bell there. March 26th was me and Leonard Nimoy and Brenna Baird in Hampton, Virginia. Not that all three of us are in Hampton, Virginia, but you know where the commas go. April, we have, looking forward, April 4th, Brian K., my blog.
Thank you.
Okay. My blog, it's full of stars.
Make note of that, my blog.
April 4th is also Joel McLaughlin, a.k.a. Gorkin. We have four beautiful birthdays on April 5th. Four or five has four.
Sure does.
Chad Davis. John Isler, a.k.a. Hicklesteff. Wait a minute.
You guys should have got five.
Five? They put them on the same line just to confuse me.
That's right.
Griffin Sylvester. So we have five on the fifth? If you go four...
It looks
what
like
was
it.
That thing I used to hear on the 4th of July? If you go fourth... If you go fourth with a fifth on the fourth, you may not go fourth on the fifth. It was like to try and get you to stop drinking on the 4th of July.
I got hurdy brain.
Griffin Sylvester. Martine Teismans. I really hope I didn't murder that too badly. That's Yorga's mother.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday. And Ringmaster Greg from Dancing with Elephants is also on the 5th. April 6th, we have Trevor Litecki, future geek. Must be son of...
He's in training. He's a Padawan.
Padawan, that's it. And PC Herring on the 7th. Oh, man, has it been a year already? Seems like I just wished him happy birthday like a month ago.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to all of you people. And if you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to see you there and give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Happy birthday if you're not on the calendar either. So we just wanted to make sure we didn't miss you or anything. We wish you all the best. Happy birthday and happy holidays for whatever time of year you're listening to this. Because some people may be listening to this in October.
You can always say happy holidays because if you think about it, if you go back to our old shows, you know, there's got to be a holiday near any of our shows. So
look at the Technorama calendar, man. Go over to the site and subscribe to that thing. I'm adding holidays all the time.
Yeah.
I just officially made Technorama Day May 1st. So it only took us, 8 years to do that.
Remember that song, The 1st of May?
Yes.
May want to change Technorama's.
That's the day we started. I can't change the calendar.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
It's also something else. It's like Inventor Day or something. No, Friday? No, today?
Inventor Day.
March 31st is backup your data day, so if you didn't get it, go back and backup your data real fast. We want to also remind you that we do the show live every Sunday night in Google Plus Hangout. You can join us on our webcam page at chuckchat.com/webcam, and we will see you there 9:30 Eastern, Sunday nights, chat room, live cam. You'll get to see all the stuff that Craig edits out for the regular audio show. Because it's a lot of fun doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
On this day in history for April 3rd, 2013. This is April 3rd. It's the 93rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 272 days remaining in 2013. It was on this date in 1860 that the first successful United States Pony Express runs from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, and it only lasted 18 months. Sorry.
Gottlieb Daimler is granted a German patent for his engine designed today in 1885.
84 years ago today, the RMS Queen Mary is ordered from, an online catalog?
Yeah, Amazon.
Oh, from John Brown and Company Shipbuilding and Engineering by Cunard Line.
And on this date in 1933, a British expedition led by Marquis of Clydesdale is funded by Lucy Lady Houston made the first flight over Mount Everest. Wow. Hey, you were talking about those jets earlier. Wow.
Today in 1936, Bruno Richard Hauptmann is executed for the kidnapping and death of Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr., the baby son of pilot Charles Lindbergh.
And 52 years ago today, the Leadbeater's... I don't look right. The Leadbeater's possum is rediscovered in Australia after 72 years.
It was April 3rd, 1973, that Martin Cooper of Motorola made his first handheld mobile phone call to Joel S. Engel of Bell Labs, though it took 10 years for the Dynatac 8000X to become the first such portable phone to be commercially released.
Engel, come here. I need you.
The Osborne 1, the first successful portable computer, is unveiled at the West Coast Computer Fair in San Francisco today in 1981.
Very cool.
Yes.
Also on this date in 1996, suspected Unabomber. Here, I'll do my hoodie thing. Yeah. Theodore Kaczynski is captured at his cabin in Montana, United States.
And Microsoft is ruled to have violated the United States antitrust laws by keeping an oppressive thumb, like that right there, on its competitors in a case of United States versus Microsoft in today.
Happy birthday goes out on this day to Michael Neander, the German mathematician and astronomer, born today in 1529.
And also born on this date in 1715, English physician and scientist William Watson.
Author Washington Irving is born 230 years ago today.
And born on April 3rd, 1926, astronaut Gus Grissom.
Jane Goodall, the British primatologist, ethologist, anthropologist, and UN messengerologist of peace, turned 79 today.
And finally, actor Alec Baldwin is 55.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for April 3rd, 2013.
Are you sure that's the way it was? There you go.
We nailed that one, didn't we?
Yeah, we're awesome.
We get lucky once in a while.
Yeah. Even a blind squirrel gets a nut.
Careful. No nut jokes in this show.
I didn't say nuts.
No squirrels were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Nor nuts.
Impending news, everyone!
Disney! You know, I didn't know Disney had the Marvel franchise, too.
You didn't?
Oh, that's right. They picked that up from Universal, didn't they?
No, they picked it up from Marvel. But they just picked up Marvel.
No, because the Universal Studios used to have the Hulk ride.
No, they licensed it. They
and did, Wolverine and all that stuff?
Yeah, Universal didn't own it. Marvel was its own entity. But Universal... Yeah, you're right, though. Universal theme park.
Islands of Adventure used to have like the Hulk ride, and I thought it was funny because they had a storm drain, and I took a picture of that because it said storm on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was great. But yeah, you're right, though. But Disney does own them.
Well, now Disney owns them, and they're announcing an Iron Man tech presented by Stark Industries, which is funny because Iron Man was just on this past weekend again, and Iron Man 2. They're going to have an exhibit for the Innoventions to feature the Hall of Ama.
The Stark Expo.
Today, as this article were written, Disney announced an exhibit called Iron Man Tech, presented by Stark Industries. It will open in Disneyland's Innoventions on April 13th. Wow, a scant few days away, promoting the upcoming release of Iron Man Tree. Inside, set pieces from the film will be accompanied by interactive displays. Included will be Tony Stark's Hall of Armor with Iron Man suits Mark 1 through 7. With the chance to, quote, virtually suit up, unquote, in a simulation firing repulsor blasts.
Oh, I was going to say, it'd be cool if you could put your head in a thing and you see the computer display, like...
The heads-up display?
Yeah.
Jarvis, get me the heck out of here!
Hey, the interactive display, they didn't tell you that the suits start going... and start shooting everybody?
And the guy went before you puked, but that's okay.
You know what I would love to see is like a, instead of, as maybe even part of Epcot, you know, make it look like the Stark Expo and have the guy that played Howard Stark in Iron Man 2, you know, actually, you know, narrating the exhibits. That'd be cool.
This Hall of Armor was previously displayed at San Diego Comic-Con in 2012.
Hmm.
It's likely that the Innoventions display will be very similar. Rumors have circulated amongst fans since Disney's 2009 acquisition of Marvel, wondering
You're no comic
when
book fan.
And how superheroes would make their way into the theme park.
Mm-hmm.
I want an Iron Man the ride.
Hey, I hate it for the poor guy that has to walk around the park in that Iron Man suit. Clunk, clunk. Pose with...
Cripes, it's hot in here.
Jarvis, it's hot in here. take it off. He's just sweating like crazy.
Although, knowing Disney, it'd probably be a fully automaton thing or remote controlled.
Yeah, kind of like that trash can that moves around.
Like they're so good. Yeah, they're the talking trash can.
Hey, what?
It's the same thing with a little bit of remodeling on it.
Just humanoid form.
Right. We've anthropomorphized the trash can.
That's right.
Hacks and strange stories, as if this podcast wasn't strange enough.
Yeah.
Now, how long do you think would be a long time for a server to be up and running? 3 months? A year?
Well, it depends on what OS you're talking about, but yes.
3? 5?
Mm-hmm.
How about 16 years?
That's a lot of hours.
Set your Wayback Machine for September 23rd, 1996. It's a Monday. Yeah, we did our research here. The Macarena is pumping out on the office radio, if you were allowed to play your office radio at a reasonable volume. midway through its 14-week run at the top of the Billboard Hot 100. And easing yourself into the week, you idly thumb through a magazine and read all about Windows NT 4.0. Pshaw, it'll never go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just been released a couple of months earlier. What does Windows know? That 3.5.1 thing just gave me a bad taste in my mouth. You wonder to yourself whether Microsoft's hot new operating system might finally be worth using. Then it's back to work. Microsoft can keep its fancy GUIs and graphical server operating systems. NetWare 3.12 is where it's at. Bulletproof file and print sharing. The server named Intel after its process needs an update. So you install and reboot. Comes up fine and you get on with the rest of your day. 16 and a half years later, the hard disks, a pair of full height 5 1/4 inch 800 meg quantum SCSI devices, are making some disconcerting noises from their bearings. And you're tired of the complaints. It's time to turn off the old war horse. This is true because there is a screenshot here from Intel that they had a server running for 6,030 days, 5 hours, 21 minutes, 19 seconds. And if I had a server up that long, I would take a picture of the screen as well.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I've got a picture similar to this. It's no 16 years, but it's but it was, I'm trying to remember how many days it was up. It was like 2 years worth of days. You know, the server was up with no problem. The only reason we took it down is because they were going to shut the power down in the business park as some kind of upgrade to the power, you know, leading up in there. So we had to, we had to shut it off. And I remember, whoa, I was like, that's amazing. So I took a picture of it. And yeah, it was, I was impressed with that. And then I saw 16 years.
The interesting part about this screenshot that I find is not so much how long it's been up. It's how long they took to upgrade from the time that 3.12 came out to the time they actually implemented it. Because the date on the screen says 8/12/93, which is just a few days younger than Julie. But it took them till September of 96, 3 years. To implement 3.12, which is like most enterprise organizations. It takes years to get your software upgraded.
The version 3.2, that's the date it came out.
Right. But nobody ever upgrades right away on a lot of these things, what I'm saying.
Actually, you know what? I bet you'd be surprised how many 3 Novell NetWare servers are still floating around in the world.
I probably would not.
Well,
there's probably a lot of Banyan vines out there, too.
Hey, you know, every time I hear that name, I keep thinking of like Donkey Kong or something. not the image you want with your file server. I'd be curious what kind of files were stored on this, because it was only 800 megs of space. Wouldn't even get,
well,
man.
To run the operating system, you probably don't need a whole lot. They could have stored it elsewhere.
Hey, but you know what? You have to give it a NetWare. Or Novell, rather, because that's a testament to how long, you know, just let it run.
It's got
to
be some kind of record.
Yeah, it's got to be a record.
Speaking of not floating around out there.
Sure.
Did we change topics and I forgot the music?
Nope.
I didn't go back to remember when. Oh, yeah, we still are on Hacks and Strange Stories. Yes. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the program. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos recovers Apollo spacecraft engines from the bottom of the ocean. You may have already heard about this, but I think it's just cool enough to mention anyway.
Actually, I felt like it was our duty to at least mention this because
that's right.
It's very cool.
He was cruising around, what was it, last year?
Cruising. Like,
okay, he was out on his jet ski. Hey, what's that?
I'm detecting some strange metallic substance down below.
It actually looks more like a basket sponge from what it looks like in the picture, it's on the bottom of the ocean. He's found some of the F1 engines that powered the Saturn V rockets that took us to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That is amazing.
Now, most of these, I don't know about all of them, but the ones I heard about, they couldn't identify the serial numbers because they've been a little corroded over the years. You know, it's only been 40-some years since they've been down there. And they can't make out the serial numbers to say, this one went with Apollo 11, this one went with Apollo 12, this, you know, so, because think about it, the stage one is the first thing that breaks off, right? That big first stage that lifts them up.
Yep.
And it falls back into the ocean, and the engines are still down there somewhere. Now, you've been to the Space Center, right?
Yes.
And you saw the big engines, right?
Oh, yeah. They're huge.
These things are monstrous.
Yes, they are.
And he's out there pulling these off the floor of the ocean and going to set up an exhibit. So I think that's awesome.
It is awesome.
Your Amazon money, hard at work, doing something cool.
Yeah, well, it's Jeff's now. But yeah, I just thought this was a fantastic... And there were some... I don't know if this article had the pictures, but there were some really good pictures of the engine sitting on the boat, you know, when they pulled it up.
Uh-huh.
And to show you how big they were, yeah, you know, they were about as tall as the guys were that were looking at them. And they're,
yep,
they're good size pieces of machinery.
Even if you take the you know, the funnel part off, the engine itself is still very massive.
Mm-hmm.
These are big.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten them before, you know, before now.
Located them?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, because NASA would have a good idea where they were at or that area.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't care. To them, it's just junk.
Well, if that was the case, they wouldn't have anything on display at the Kennedy Space Center.
Those were the ones that didn't pass test.
Yeah, well.
Fail.
Yeah, okay, fine.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. We will be right back with the Remember When. When we're going to take a look at the time Buck Rogers saved the galaxy from the horrors of rock and roll.
Oh, thank God.
Yippee. And more fun stuff in the Media Corner. We'll be right back.
Too bad he didn't save us from Justin Bieber.
Geek Thoughts.
Why is it I can't remember people's phone numbers, but I can remember all their MAC addresses for all their machines?
This is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, Tom Zarek, and the original Captain Apollo, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
One segment, we have an interesting article about the time that Buck Rogers, yes, Gil Gerard, was trying to save the galaxy from the horrors of rock and roll.
Oh, but he couldn't do anything about Justin Bieber or Lady Gaga.
When the 20th century astronaut Buck Rogers was transported to the 25th century, he discovered while many things had changed over the last 500 years, some things stayed quite the same. Namely,
rock and roll is evil, and young people are the worst.
And in the insanely horrible episode of Buck Rogers in the 25th century titled Space Rockers, Buck had to save the galaxy from both of these menaces. We begin with the band Andromeda. That actually sounds like a new modern band.
Actually, I could go for that name.
A 25th century rock band that, and I can stress this enough, is playing nothing approximating rock and roll. They are playing a kind of weird pop funk, no lyrics, heavy on the bass and synthesizer, which is actually pretty cool if you're into stuff like that. However, if you watch the video in our show notes, you'll notice a bunch of weird things. The band is covered in glitter and Christmas lights because it's in the future and that's what bands do.
It sounds like Kiss.
But just in case you weren't 100% that this is in the future, the band member on the, quote, drums is playing small glass cylinders and the keyboard is just a series of randomly sized and colored circles, which doesn't stop him from spazzing out and trying to play them with his feet.
Nice.
It's a wonderful piece of trope.
With his teeth.
No, I mean, feet.
I'm sorry. I was thinking where he should use his teeth, like some, you know, you see a guitarist start playing with.
This goes on and on. You know, I'm gonna have to look for this. I have to wonder if Buck Rogers is available on Netflix.
It is.
It is. Streaming?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, you're in luck.
I'm there.
You should have done
I'm
your research
start
for this
watching
show.
That as soon as I'm done watching X-Files, I'm going to go further back in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, have you been doing X-Files?
Yeah, off and on. And then I got caught up with Farscape. So now I'm sort of all over the place on many series at the same time.
Yeah.
We have Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Don't do it!
No, turn back!
Mad Marv sends us a link to a trailer called Knights of Badassdom, which actually looks kind of funny if they'd actually turn it into a real movie. It's about these guys who are doing some RPG in the park, and all of a sudden one of them chants something out of a book, a random chant, and out comes a succubus and starts making the movie look somewhat interesting yet comical at the same time. So could turn out to be really dumb, but could turn out to be kind of funny and interesting.
It kind of reminds me of Fanboys a little bit.
I didn't see that one, so I'll take your word
for
it.
Oh, you got it. Whoa. You have to check out Fanboys. We talked to
Ernest
Cline.
You've told me about that before.
Well, we talked to Ernest Cline. He's the one that wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, you have to put that one on Netflix and look at the disc.
We also have news confirmed, and I thought this was also on Slice of Sci-Fi as well, but it came out on the Twitter feeds recently that David Tennant and Billy Piper will reprise their roles in the Doctor Who's 50th anniversary. And it's been really tight getting people to this. I don't know what the deal is, but nobody seems to want to be on this or for whatever reason.
What do you mean?
I keep seeing these stories go by at least once a week that says so-and-so has not been talked to and now says they don't want to be on the 50th anniversary special. So
you know what?
I'm a little surprised at this one.
I think everybody's playing, you know, coy about it because
and they'll all show up at the same time.
Yeah, I have a feeling that all the doctors are going to be in it. But they're, you know, they're trying to confuse the issue, I think.
I don't think all the doctors are still alive, buddy.
No, not all of them. I think the majority of them are, but I'm just saying, no, because they keep being asked, are you going to be in the 50th? I've been talked about.
Not from what I've been reading. Christopher Eccleston is clearly out.
Yeah, well, he's one. You know what? I just never got the vibe that he was in, it was fully vested in this thing. That's why he was in one season and out. Come on.
Okay.
He never grabbed me anyway. I just don't think he was into it.
He was a good introductory to bring you back into the series. I mean, when he let off the first new season, I think he did all right.
I think
he got a lot of people hooked on it.
Well, I was into it a little bit, but he just never grabbed me. And then when, well, how inappropriate that may be. Then David Tennant comes along and he really captured my attention. I loved him as the Doctor.
Yep.
So
he did a good job.
Yes.
Okay. And we've talked about that before. Well, we have finally this. I'm glad you threw this in here. This reminds me of those things that TD0013 used to do for Slice of Sci-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an investigative report about a possible conspiracy of who really blew up the Death Star and why.
Yes.
There's a link in our show notes in the media corner called Luke's Change, an inside job. And they think that the Death Star blowing up might be an inside job. And when you listen to this, it's actually kind of convincing.
Yeah. I like how you twist it around.
Look, Luke is just a farm boy. He's got to hit this ventilation shaft that a veteran fighter pilot says is impossible. His dad is on the station and the only survivor. He's also the one who chooses to engage with Luke as he's going down this heavily fortified battle station and somehow manages to slip into that trench. And Vader, a.k.a. Anakin Skywalker, sorry if I ruined something on this
spoiler
for you. I should have given the spoiler alert. Tells the other TIE fighters to back off while I take this guy on. And, manages to totally toast the whole job up. Meanwhile, then they get into the whole Leia connection thing where she's on board her ship. Then it's really interesting how they tied this all together.
There was a mysterious ship seen in the area, and it was, you know, it was the Millennium Falcon.
It's always the Millennium Falcon, yeah. The mysterious Corellian ship that's seen here and there, and
yeah,
and she's aboard the ship, and then she's taken aboard the, you know, yeah. It really was tied together very well. You're like,
yeah,
this actually has some thought behind it. It's about 7 minutes of gotta go watch it stuff.
You know what? After all these years, I never really thought of Vader being the sole survivor off that Death Star. Just when he said that, I went, you know what? He's right. I didn't. I just never really gave it that much thought, but
yep.
Hey, I do want to mention something, by the way, since we're kind of in the media corner.
Yes.
And on this topic is I went online and found it's a out of print version. It was a blueprint, Star Wars blueprint book that I had back in 77.
Oh, wow.
And I found a PDF of it online. Now, now they have newer versions of the blueprints and they're like thick books, but it has, you know, they have spaceships from, you know, all the anything related to Star Wars. Well, this one really has like some of the pictures from the Death Star, a lot of blueprints from the Millennium Falcon. And I was flipping through it thinking how much I loved looking through there, looking at the detail that they drew in for. It's really cool. Kind of really took me back when I started flipping through this PDF. It's kind of neat. Love the internet for this stuff like that. Hey, it ignited my imagination twice.
Once when you were young and impressionable, and another time when you're old and impressionable. Yeah.
Some things haven't changed. So, yes.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. That takes us to the end of our show. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, get in touch with us. You can call the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. We've been telling you this for 8 years. You ought to know the
you
number
think
by
you
now.
Know 206 it by now.
222, say it with me, 2428. Or you can email us at, yes, I heard that. Yes, you said it, technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and all that
did
stuff.
Did I say it
thank
or did
you
project it into your head?
We've gotten a few more people to like us on the Technorama page. Thank you very much for that. If you haven't done so, go over there and like us. There's all kinds of goofy stuff there. I find the videos and the pictures and whatnot. You know, I did not post my Iron Man picture over there. I thought that might be a bit too controversial, so I kept it in my personal feed. But yeah, pictures and videos, a lot of that stuff. Like, how many peeps and Cadbury eggs can you shoot with a 50 caliber bullet? That's our Easter theme. I see that and I go, Technorama page right away. Hey, Google Plus and all that other good stuff. Special thanks to Mad Marv for the great blog content that he provides every week. And, you know, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but thank you very much to all those people with the monthly donations to the tip jar. We appreciate it very much. You can do the same if you go over to chuckchat.com/Technorama. There's PayPal buttons over there. We would love you for eternity for that. Thank you for everyone who sent us links during the week and that feedback. Keep it coming. Technorama@chuckchat.com. Thanks for those who joined us in the Hangout tonight. And thank you, beautiful listener, for downloading and listening. And thank you for wearing your Trekkie shirt, Craig.
Yeah, okay.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. And also check out all the great shows over at Farpoint Media. Tons and tons of stuff there. You know, there's not much more to say except tell a friend about Technorama, and until next time, give me a binary high five.
101.